This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Wow, what a weekend. And I am Glenn the Geek from a very chilly Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and it is 7 o'clock because we changed the time. So it is not 6 o'clock for me. So I got an extra hour of sleep because the show now starts later, and I would like to appreciate that and tell you guys, hello, I'm more awake. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 3rd, episode 1033, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
Time change is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I was wondering why you showed up on time.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday!
Well, what an absolutely awesome weekend if you like horses, because there were horse shows, McClay Finals, Golly Down, Breeders' Cup. I mean, there was something for everybody in the horse world this past weekend. There's so much to do, you have to choose. But I got to tell you, I had so much fun, but I want to let you guys know almost immediately, because I have had so many messages from all of you people trying to get me to take more horses home, wanting to know whether or not I now have an Andalusian in my backyard. The backstory on that is Diane Berto, one of our Joseph Berto, who makes the Flexin' Forks, his wife knows that I love Andalusians and sent me a message saying that in Southern California, at one of the animal control places, there were 5 Andalusians that were owner surrender because they were skin and bones and nobody could take care of them anymore. So the owner gave them to animal control. So what do I do? Husband, we're going to look at some Andalusians. So all of you guys wanted to know whether I took my trailer. So I decided, with the parking in Southern California, being that I couldn't go there till the next day, till Friday, we left on Thursday, that we would, you know, if we found something, we would ship it home. So I did not take the truck and trailer. That's the good news. Because when I got there, the bad news is that all of the Andalusians, aside from 2, were gone. So there was a 5-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 15-year-old is what the ages that they said they had. And I saw pictures of them. They were so skin and bones and so sad, and I would have loved to have one. And so there were 2 remaining. So we decided to make the hour-and-a-half drive north from where we were in L.A. to go look at these horses. And we got there, and we went and saw the horses, and it was just the saddest thing I've ever seen. First of all, one of them was probably about 40. They said both were around 15. One was about 40 and was a skeleton, just an absolute skeleton. Break your heart. But I thought, first of all, this thing is not going to make it on a trailer ride home. There's no way this horse can travel. The good news is these horses are in animal control, so they're being taken care of. They've got veterinarians on staff. They've got, you know, they're getting fed just the way the vets say. So that was the good news. The other one was about probably 25 and pregnant. And I just thought, well, I don't need that.
I didn't know you could be 25 and pregnant. Let's start there.
I don't know how this one worked, but the sad news is that they were like riddled with tumors. It was just a really bad situation. But this mare was completely. She might have been 20. She was definitely in full. And I just thought, okay, this one's not going to make it, and this one is going to have a baby. I don't need any part of it. So sadly, we did not bring any of the animals home. The good news is we didn't take the trailer. So don't worry. There's another stall open in my backyard because now I've put one together just in case. So there is an open stall if anybody's got any.
Really?
Of course I did. I thought I was going to get an Andalusian in my backyard, and it was going to need
I never thought of that. That's a problem where you guys are because you use the Mare Motel style. You can put up another stall in 26 minutes. That's bad.
All I have to do is screw it in. Done. Got a stall. So it's ready. It's ready to go. There's a stall standing, my friends, and it's within perfect view of my house. So my bedroom, so I can look outside and I can see the Andalusian standing there in a stall waiting on medical attention. So just so you guys know, if you hear of anything else, send it my way because I'm ready.
Well, you know,
I
kind of figured that the young one was going to be gone very quickly with all the Facebook press these horses got. So
yeah, the officer said that he goes, once these things go viral, they're gone. I was like, well, that's good. You know, I'm glad they found some homes.
You know, the sad thing is the 40-year-old probably won't find a home. You know, that's the sad thing.
Well, the good news is the 40-year-old is receiving medical attention and eating on a very regular basis. So, you know, that's the good news. And you think once they get there, I mean, I could give them a better life, but at least they're safe. And I just that one broke my heart to leave it, but there was just no way. I mean, I would have taken it because I love old horses and I love old dogs. I love old everything, and I would have taken it home if I thought it would have made the trip. It wouldn't have survived. It was that bad.
I know that feeling. We were afraid that the pony wouldn't make it an hour down the road in the trailer. So I know the feelings. Yeah.
I know. Well, we've got some better news for you guys coming up. Jennifer, tell us what's coming up on today's show. It's busy.
It very much is on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday. It's race to the finish to fit it all in because Jamie will be recounting her Santa Anita / Andalusian adventure, as we have just seen. And then listener Laura calls in next with her Breeders' Cup review, and this time it's going to be the infield edition. Mid-show, Dr. Gordon Chang checks in with some digestive support reports, and the Wacky World of Horse Nation provides a satirical half-halt in the middle of the show in preparation for yet another listener on the scene report, this time from Susan Friedland-Smith, who has the lowdown from Galway Downs. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Hey, I'm so excited that all these listeners are now wanting to give reports from the shows and events they've been to. I appreciate that. It's been 6 years in the coming, but thank you for stepping up. We appreciate it. I hope we get a bunch more.
Love it.
Well, my daily winnie goes to our adopted bug, Callie. Of course, Callie Francois. We've been following her for years now, since we started the show, I think. She has been working as an exercise rider, and she's a jockey in training, and she got to ride a couple races for Todd Pletcher. On her way to getting her jockey license here in the United States. And then I got a text from her yesterday, I hadn't heard from her in a while, that said she's on her way to Sydney, Australia, to continue her training with Guy Waterhouse, who's a very famous trainer over there. And she's going to be riding in some barrier trials. And as I understand it, barrier trials are schooling races that these prospective jockeys race in, and from what I read, you have to ride in about 20 barrier trials to become accepted sort of as a jockey, and that she could then come back to the United States and be allowed to jockey for people. So that's what I understand about a barrier trial. Somebody could correct me if I'm wrong. But so she was packing last night and flying out today to Sydney, Australia. How cool was that?
Whoa, that's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah.
How exciting.
Yeah, what an experience, you know, not too many people get to do in life, and she's going to get over there. I said, when are you coming back? And she said, I'm not sure, depends on the boys. So I don't know. I think she's also looking for a guy with an accent. I might have something.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah.
I know she's single, Hello. So, you know, I'm sure she's looking nice while she's over there. Good job, Callie. Keep it up. She said she would check in with us as she is riding races. over there in Australia. So we'll be looking forward to hearing from her.
Gosh, I just don't know who to give my daily Winnie to. It's like, well, Barb Crabo, my the woman who coached me with Jet, won the 3-star at Galway. So that's Barb Crabo gets one. You know, we've got the classic with Byron, but I don't know. Byron's mired in controversy right now with the whole way he mugged half the field before the Breeders' Cup Classic. And then
I think it was one horse.
That's dramatic. And then we actually, it was like the whole first half, the whole inside part of the field. Anyway, and then, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to give my my daily Winnie to a horse named Work All Week. And Work All Week ran this weekend. And for some reason, I was looking at the program. I actually studied it when I would choose with the names that didn't go so well. So I actually started looking at the program, and Work All Week just kept popping up in my head. And I need to bet on this horse. So I had a pretty successful day at the Breeders' Cup. So I had a little bit of extra money to spend. And I decided to step up from my $2 bet and put $5 across the board on Work All Week. Well, Work All Week won. $5 across the board. And $2 paid a $2 across the board bet paid $70. A $5 across the board bet paid $175 freaking dollars.
I saw that race and I said, I hope Jamie put some money on that silly horse. You did?
I did. I went 5-for-7 at the Breeders' Cup. But
really?
Work All Week was kind of my little bit of a sleeper pick. And I don't understand why nobody else bid on it. Apparently he runs in Illinois, and people were like, their horse is totally outclassed. Yeah, he wins all the time in whatever cheap little track he's at. And why is he even here amongst all these great horses? Well, because he knows how to win, people. And he won, and it was awesome. And I was so excited.
He had to have been 99-1 going in. His odds had to have been 99-1 or something. I've never seen a payout that large.
It was really good. Now, this, I think you're thinking of another one. He went off. He ended up being at like 28-1 is what he ended up being. So
you know what? I'm thinking of another one. There's another one that
paid
$150 to win or something.
Yes.
Ridiculous.
None of us picked that one. I believe that is, Take Charge Brandy and the Juvenile Fillies. In Henny the Love Penny's race. And Henny the Love Penny, who I picked to win because I like the name, came in dead last. So we don't need to talk about that.
But
that was
well
charged
track. So did you end up up? Did you have to buy dinner for everybody?
Oh, my gosh. I ended up up, you guys. It was awesome. Now, the problem is that I lost the last two races. So I was all confident going into the Classic. And I'm like, oh, watch this. I'm going to tell you who's going to win the Classic. Let's see. The Breeders' Cup Classic's going to be Shared Belief in California Chrome. No way around it. So let's put some money on the Exacta box. And then this horse named Byron, go ahead and take out my horse and knock him over almost. And so it didn't go so well. California Chrome ran his absolute heart out. It was fantastic. Hey, do you have the race? Do you have the Classic? Can we play it real quick?
I do. Take a listen.
Okay, good.
Ready for the start. They're off in the Breeders' Cup Classic, and Byron broke to the inside. May have impeded Shared Belief there. Byron is going to go out to the early lead. Moreno is stuck in behind horses. Toast of New York is there on the outside, and California Chrome gets into his comfort zone outside of horses. Moreno, Cigar Street on the inside. Oh, Shared Belief in traffic trouble there. Just got steadied by Mike Smith. Majestic Harbor is on the outside. The opening quarter mile goes in 23 seconds flat. Then Footbridge, Candy Boy, followed by Prayer for Relief, Imperative on the inside. VE Day is after that, and then comes Zeebo, and the Belmont Stakes winner, Tonalist, is last. It is Byron who leads the way. He shifted in at the start of the race, but he's in the clear as they move to the backstretch by a length and a half. Europe's Toast of New York is up and on the pace, running in second. California Chrome in a perfect spot for him outside of Cigar Street. Moreno unexpectedly fifth at this stage. Shared Belief is right alongside of him, and they went 46-2 for a half mile. And then comes Majestic Harbor. Footbridge on the inside, followed by Candy Boy, Imperative Prayer for Relief. Totalist is third last at this stage of the race. VE Day is next. And then comes Zevo. And now the field moves for the far turn. And Byron has run three quarters in 1:10-1. And he carries his speed into the turn by a length. Toast of New York is right in striking range. Victor Espinosa now asking California Chrome to go. He's two lengths off the lead. He's starting to close in. And then it's Cigar Street. Shared Belief has his work cut out for him. He's fifth as they come to the top of the stretch. Byron turning for home in front. Toast of New York on the outside. California Chrome is third. Shared Belief laboring back there in fifth. One furlong to run. Byron, Toast of New York. California Chrome on the outside. The three of them come to the wire. Byron, Toast of New York. California Chrome. Here's the finish. Byron, Byron holds on over Toast of New York. Then California Chrome. Shared Belief was fourth. And a final time of 1 minute 59.88 seconds.
We were on the rail. We went all the way down the rail. We're screaming. Everybody was screaming their head off. I got to tell you, man, California Chrome is such a popular horse. Anytime, like when he came out from under the tunnel, the crowd went crazy. When he walked onto the track, the crowd went crazy. When the announcer would say number, you know, he was going down number one, number two, number three. When they said number 13, California Chrome, the crowd went crazy. He is such a huge horse in California. I mean, my gosh, he just, the home crowd loved him. I was really disappointed that he didn't win, but he just ran his heart out. He did not quit, and he kept going, and it was just inches. It was just head bobs, which was the difference in the final. Did I like Byron? I think he ran really hard. I do think he mugged half the field. He came out and ran left and took out a bunch of horses. A lot of the trainers were saying, you want to run in a foot race? Okay, let me trip you right as we start, okay? But the worst part is, Glenn, the worst part is, that the trainer that won the Breeders' Cup Classic on Byron is Bob Baffert. And as we know from 50 to 1, the movie that we watched, Bob Baffert is not the sweetest, warmest, cuddliest guy at all. And just the fact that this is the title of one of the articles on the Blood Horse, and it's Baffert, debate distracts from Byron's win. And he's mad that people are talking about the start of the race and not the end of the race and how great his horse is and how dare they take away from his victory when he clearly knocked out and ran into Shared Belief. But whatever. I just think he's kind of sour, and I just do not.
Now, to be
my
fair,
favorite.
The stewards did review the race for several minutes and decided that it was too early in the race to affect the order of finish, which is why they didn't do anything. It was right at the gate, wasn't it? Right outside the gate.
It was right as soon as the gates opened. Byron came out and just, he was in post position, like number 12, I think, and he went turn left. He just turned left and cut everybody off. He kind of ran into Shared Belief. California Chrome was on his outside, so it didn't affect him at all. But any of the horses to the left of Byron didn't get up there. And that's what Shared Belief worked so hard to get all the way up and finished in fourth place. But I mean, any horse that was on his left had no race. Had no chance. It was more than a few minutes because, like, my brother-in-law and Chad both picked Byron to win. So we were having to sit by the gate, by the ticket window, and they're going, come on, come on, come on. And I'm like, come on, come on, come on, get him, call him out. And they're like, come on, call him to win. So it was a little dramatic at the end of it, but it was super fun. That does suck that it marred the classic, because that is definitely what all the horsey people are, the racehorse people are talking about. But, you know, Byron is the winner, and Work All Week is my new best friend, and I found him on Facebook, and we are now Facebook friends, and I'm a huge fan.
And how was the overall? How was the overall experience? I noticed that you were wearing your $8 dress, which, by the way, was very cute, and Jennifer posted pictures of you guys at the track. But you weren't wearing your fascinator. You said you had bought a fascinator, and I was expecting to see you over there with Miss Connecticut in the fashion competition, looking, you know, all hot, but there was no fascinator.
There was no Fascinator because I paid three times as much to have it shipped and the two-day shipping than I did actually for the Fascinator, and it didn't freaking come. We left at 3 o'clock. It came at 5 p.m., according to my farm sitter. So I was super pissed. I had no Fascinator. Bummed. I come home, and then I'm like, oh, there's the box with the Fascinator. Fantastic. I put it on my head, and I'm walking around in my pajamas. That's pretty much what my Fascinator did this weekend. Two things. I got to go see Richard Migliori, the Mig.
Did you say hi to the Mig? I did.
And he was very, very busy. They're all working. But he was like, oh, my gosh, good to see you. Put a face with the name. And what's funny is you can always put a face with the name. We're on Facebook. We're on the Internet. Whatever. I let that go. It was awesome. He's super nice. And then the Zenyatta statue. Oh, my gosh. I walked in. I know we got to get to our guest. Is our guest ready?
Oh, no. She hasn't called in yet, so we're good.
Okay, so I can tell you guys. So, you know, Zenyatta's baby, her filly, died about almost a week ago now, over at Lane's End due to a tragic paddock accident. That's the only information we have. That's the only information I need. Paddock accident. And so when you walk into Santa Anita, because, you know, she's the only filly to ever win the Breeders' Cup Classic. There's a huge statue of her when you walk in. And it is just beautiful. And it looks just like her. They put the same markings on her face. It's just great. It was covered in pink flowers from people that were paying tribute to the little, they call her Z Princess. And people were coming in and they were putting flowers down on the statue in honor of Z Princess. And I was like, oh, my, I mean, I was very emotional, and I walked over to it, and we got our picture taken in front of it, and that was all great. And then I turned around and saw, after we took the picture, the tiny little pink tiara sitting on the statue. And it was a little pink tiara in honor of Z Princess. And, oh, my gosh, I lost it. I started crying, like the ugly cry. You know when you get your cry on to where you're like, no, this was the like ungodly, ugly, twisted face, super cry. I started bawling. And, of course, my sister-in-law and brother-in-law are like, what's wrong with her? You know, I told them, but I don't think they understand how much that horse means to me. Of course they don't. They're not horse people. And I started crying so hard. I had to put my sunglasses on. My mascara ran. It was ugly. And I was so sad. So I took some pictures. So we're going to post those on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. Oh, my gosh. It was just, it just broke my heart.
Yeah, I think tiara hadn't been there, it would have just been flowers. But with the picture you took of the tiara, that just hit home, you know. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, it's this tiny little pink tiara. Oh, I'm looking at the picture now. I've got goosebumps. I can't stand it. Oh, I can't take it. I can't look. Let me move on.
Well, before we do get to our guest here, Jennifer's getting her set up now. She was at the infield. One of our listeners was on the infield, and it didn't look like it was I want to find out because it didn't look totally packed on the TV. But I got to tell you what happened here. So we watch Friday races, right? We tape them and so you could skip through all the commercials and then all the crap and then, you know, actually just watch the races the way I like to watch races. And we get through all that. We watch Fridays. We watch Saturday afternoons. They had it in two parts. Saturday afternoon was on NBC Sports. And then Saturday night at 8 o'clock Eastern time was NBC covering the Classic, right? So we tune in at about 8:15, figuring we'll fast forward through the commercials, and it's a blank screen. And then I start to scroll around and figured out that NBC was off the air in Florida they were just gone. There was no NBC.
Why?
I don't know. It was completely gone. It was blank air. All the other stations were there, but NBC was gone. So we ended up having to watch it on my tiny little phone after the race was done. So we didn't get this. After all of that, NBC was off the air. I am sure that the cable company got a few complaints about that on Friday night. Yeah. Especially seeing we live in the horse capital of the world, right? Ocala, there were a few people not happy that they could not watch the race on, including all the race people that were around here.
Yeah, so it just went gone. The whole network went off the air,
screen.
Or they just...
The whole network was off.
Oh my gosh, that sucks. Well, apparently I posted the name of the winner. I posted the picture of Byron. I took a picture of him as he galloped by because we were down on the rail. And I got some nasty emails from and messages from people on Facebook going, I haven't watched it yet. I recorded it. I'm like, well, then don't check Facebook.
That's right. We didn't. We intentionally didn't because of that, because of that right there. Hey, let's get to our listener real quick who was on the – it was in the infield. Her name is Laura. Laura, how was it in the infield of the Breeders' Cup?
It was fun on every level. We had the passes where you could go run back and forth in the tunnel to the track side, and so we did that a lot. But I had not been to Santa Anita in 50-something years. I grew up near there, so it was fun to go back. It's such a beautiful place. But I'd never been in track infield, and my image of it is the Pimlico Preakness party scene.
Yes. Pegasus. Was Pegasus there?
In the infield?
Yeah.
No, Gwen.
Don't know. I'm missing something.
Was there large amounts of alcohol being consumed?
Oh, no. Actually, no. Okay, it was Pegasus and Preakness thing? Okay.
Yes.
Anyway, no, it was very, very well behaved. I think when I was walking around, I got to the part where there's an actual built-in playground in the infield. I'm like, nah, it's not going to be like the Preakness. But the neat thing about it, and we got there at 8 in the morning, so there's hardly anybody there, but it did, you know, get more crowded. But a lot of people brought chairs and just pulled them up facing the big screens that you see from across the track. So you're right there at the big screen, and the horses are behind them. I don't think they ever looked over the heads of the horses, but it's a good spot to watch all the races, so that was kind of neat. So it was really nice.
I had heard there were some infield concerts that went on and all that.
Uh-huh.
Did you see any concerts or anything?
Down at kind of as far away as you could get, like by the far turn, that was where the music and stuff was. We didn't really spend a lot of time over there. We spent more time going back and forth and waiting for an hour to see California Chrome get saddled because you could get up really close. So that was neat.
Did you get some good pictures?
Oh, yes. And sadly, the race didn't go the way that I hoped it would. But it was a good race. But, yeah, I mean, to me, you know, I couldn't care less if Brad Pitt walked by, but to get up close to those horses and the jockeys that you know, it's like, oh, my God, there's California Chrome, there's Tonalist. Oh, there's Mike Smith. And Glenn, I did see Rosie up close, and I'm so sorry about the news. I think she's going to stay with the husband.
You know what? Let's talk about that real quick while you're on here, Laura. Because Jennifer and I watched her do the announcement, and we both were a little put out that she took that moment after winning the race.
Tell them what she said. So she wins the race on this
untappable,
the most amazing fillies ever. One of the most amazing
millions
fillies
of dollars.
Ever.
Right. And then during the post race, when they were, you know, doing the trophies and everything, they interviewed the jockey. Well, they went over to interview her. Her mother was standing there, and she proceeded to tell her mother that she'd be retiring on Monday, and that she'd be starting a family. Now, it has come out that she's 9 weeks pregnant now, and that's why she was quitting right away. But I just thought it took all of the steam out of the horse that won and the owner that was standing there. It just took all of it out. It just popped the balloon a little bit because then that's all anybody was talking about. I just thought it was kind of a little bit rude of her to do it at that point.
Might have been could have picked a better time, but, you know, maybe just, she was excited.
I'm off of Rosie now. I'm going to find a new one.
sorry.
That's my Rosie bandwagon. But she did win the race. I mean, Taffable looked pretty good. So
she did.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Well, did you say hi to her for me? Just say, Glenn says hi.
I'm sorry. I didn't.
Laura.
That. I know. I'm so sorry.
Laura, but, I love you. I love you because exactly how what you said was how I felt, too. When you're standing up there and you're seeing these horses go by and they're walking by, mm-hmm. it is like seeing Brad Pitt. It is like seeing somebody so famous. And wasn't it cool that anything California Chrome did, he pooped and people cheered. It was he's such a huge favorite.
Yes, there were a lot of us waiting for an hour to see him up close. It was kind of nice that, like I say, the race didn't go the way I thought. And I do have to say, and I don't like to talk bad about people, but I was a little disappointed in Bob Baffert for, in the same sentence, saying, "Oh yeah, my horse didn't do anything, but Jared the Leaf never had a chance." Like,
yeah,
that. Doesn't go together, but
you're exactly right. I was just talking about him before you got on, so I guess you didn't hear. He just came across as he normally does, as kind of an a-hole, you know, and I just am not a huge fan of his. He just can't be like, he can't be nice. He's such a jerk all the time, so I agree with you. He's not my favorite, but obviously the horse ran his heart out, and California Chrome, I gotta say, and like, he just ran his guts out. It just ran as hard as he could. And being on the rail there and seeing him come crashing by, just to see
all of
those horses that close and breathing that hard and you could feel the pulse and the place was just erupting. It was being that close for California Chrome to be up front as the neck. I mean, people were cheering and screaming, and it was just utter madness of a horse race. And it was super, super fun.
I know. I don't think he took anything away from himself by losing by that tiny bit.
I think the one thing he did take away is I do not think he has a chance for Horse of the Year now. I think he did.
Probably not.
He did before, you know, Golden Sense is another one we have to mention because obviously, you know, Golden Sense is being talked about quite a bit at this point. So, you know, another terrific race. But there were a lot of long shots that came in and won. There were some unbelievable, we were talking about it earlier, some unbelievable payouts over the weekend. Now, Jamie ended up with winning some money here. So did you win some money over the weekend?
Yeah, I think I came out like maybe $10 ahead out of the total 20 that I bet, because that's my limit when I go. Although I did have to have a moment of feeling like a genius, because, you know, they have the self-betting machines and you get the little voucher and then it says, put your voucher here. And I'm trying to get it in there. And finally, the 20-year-old with tattoos next to me goes, put it in that other slot. And if you know, like at the casino, I'm like, I don't do that either. He could help me, you know, whatever.
Girl, that is so funny. Yeah, most of the betting windows they have are those machines. And so I get up and it's like, hey, put your money in here. And I thought you swipe your credit card. And so I'm sticking my credit card in, and this guy behind me goes, doesn't take credit cards, dummy. And I turn around, well, I let that guy have it, let me just tell you. But Chad's like, what? What is this guy talking to you like? I'm like, I turn on, like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't use these things.
Well, I feel
like,
better. I mean, I think even, like, the kids that are there know how to use them. And I think some of them do trade credit cards. I don't know. I don't go enough to know.
Well, apparently they don't take credit cards, because this guy behind me who was waiting for me to finish was quick to tell me they didn't take credit cards and that I was a dummy. And I turn around with my fascinator wearing self and yelled at him.
Before we let you go, okay, before we have to get on to a new topic here, but we'll be back talking about the British Cup later in the show. But I have to ask you guys, you're talking about seeing Brad Pitt. Did you see, in fact, see any celebrities? I mean, we are in Los Angeles.
Oh, you know, not that I recognize. But then again, you know, they may have been hanging out up in the, you know, where you have to go up the stairs. Those
they were in the tickets
with the big numbers at the bottom. No. I mean, there were probably a few.
Well, Kristen Chenoweth came out and sang The Best Is Yet to Come.
Right.
And I love her. She was fantastic. And, she and I saw lots of celebrities, Glenn. We saw Pants on Fire. We saw Golden Sense. We saw California Chrome.
Exactly.
That's all we need. We saw the Yada Statue. We saw Toast in New York. I mean, come on.
Right.
We saw celebrities, the ones that matter.
Exactly.
Thank you, Laura.
Oh,
we appreciate
you
checking in. All right, keep in touch.
All right, thanks. You have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Laura.
Bye.
Well, it sounded like that was a reasonable, fun place to be if you had a family that was on the infield. You can't say that about many races, can you?
No, you can't. No, definitely not. It's just a classier place. It's just, first of all, Santa Anita's huge. So there's so much room to spread out that you don't have to. There, even though there were 60,000 people there, we walked right up to the rail. Granted, we were pretty far away from the finish line. And that's the other thing is you're not going to see a celebrity in the infield or where my seats were at all.
We were looking for you, and we couldn't see you in the dot of the little tiny people that were there. Now, we did that is one thing. When you go to, like, Keeneland, it's, you know, you get 50,000 people in there. You cannot move. I mean, it's packed. You don't see a horse. You just don't move.
You know, I did see another celebrity, Richie Sambora, the guitarist for Bon Jovi, sang the national anthem and did a really good job. So there, we saw two celebrities.
Well, we have a celebrity coming on the show next. Do you want to talk to Dr. Tang?
I do. He's a huge celebrity in our world of horses in the morning. Dr. Chang, good morning.
Good morning. I like that intro, you know, being called a celebrity. I think there's probably only one person in the entire world who probably would agree with you. It's probably my daughter or maybe my son, but that's it. Nobody else cares.
He didn't even add his wife into that.
No, I've been married close to 30 years, so at this point in time, no.
I'm with you, Dr. Chang. Well, we're going to talk to you about one of my favorite things at Omega Alpha Equine, and that is what you guys have for digestive health. And digestive health is such an incredibly important part of a sport horse. So talk to us a little bit about what you guys have going on.
Well, when we start talking about digestive health, one of the things I always like to point out to people who are into this, into any type of performance horses, the horse can live, win or lose just because of when they wake up that morning, how their gut feels, right? And one thing about horses, you look at them sideways, they can get an ulcer, or they can colic on you, right? I mean, that's a terrible thing to say, but the thing about horses is that if you can keep their gut healthy, you know, you have a chance of winning whatever competition you're going into. Now, there's several things that you got to think about with the gut. You know, it's not a one-shot thing where you say, if you do this, boom, all your problems are gone. Doesn't happen that way. I mean, you have gut issues. I mean, a horse could be, you look at him at home, he's healthy, he's happy, he's putting on weight. Everything seems to be good. You throw him on the truck, and you ship him from point A to point B. When he gets to point B, turns up his nose at the local hay, turns up his nose at the water. You know, everything starts to go sideways from that, right? And there are many reasons for those things to happen. One of it could be something as simple as nervousness traveling, right? It could also be due to the fact that, you know, if you help his probiotic, his microorganism environment in the gut, if you change that, it makes a huge difference. There's so many different things that can happen. So one of the things, if you're traveling with a horse, one of the things I'd like to always point out, you can prep the horses for traveling. First thing you do, you give them some of that good biotic aid product that we have. And what that does, it helps with the microorganism environment in the gut. It helps optimize that environment. Now, the thing about probiotics, you know, there's so many different types of probiotics out there. But one of the things that I've noticed about a lot of probiotics, people usually just use one single probiotic in their product. And the problem with that is that I always say to people, probiotics, they're called good bacteria. They're not necessarily good because they give extra money at the collection plate or they do good deeds. They're called good because the body can handle the waste products they produce a lot better than the so-called bad bacteria. However, it's like anything else. If you load up your body with that only one single probiotic, you can actually overdo a good thing, meaning that, you know, if I was to take all the bacteria out of the body and just put that one single probiotic in, the waste products it produce all of a sudden becomes so much, it can overwhelm the body, and you're worse off from where you started off with. That's why at Omega Alpha we used eight strain probiotic product to put in there. So you have eight different strains. So we try to balance the probiotic strains that you have in the body there. And secondly, with the probiotics, it's all, again, the carrier mechanism. You have to get it into the gut, bypass the acids in the stomach, and get it into the hindgut where it actually can grow and do good. And the problem with a lot of probiotics, unless you have some way of getting it in, the acids kill about 80% to 90% of the initial load of the probiotics. What we've done with this product is that we've added some mucilaginous producing herbs. And basically what that will do, when it gets wet, it traps the probiotics in there and it protects it from the acids in the stomach. So you have approximately 80% of your probiotic dose getting through to implant into the lower gut. All right. Now, another thing that we look at for digestive health is ulcers. All right. That's a big thing. Or sometimes you don't have an ulcer, but you have a horse that, you know, it's not feeling too right in the stomach. One of the things that we have is a product called Regeneric. Now, what Regeneric is, it's a very good, it's an appetite stimulant. So for people who have post-performance, like horses, you sometimes they after a race or after showing, they won't eat. And if you know you have, or if you travel, they just won't eat. You give them some of this Regeneric product, their heads are in the feed bucket within a day. Right? That's been our experience with it. And what it basically does, it helps soothe the gut to the point where it's a lot comfortable so that the horse actually will eat. And makes a huge difference because, you know, as most people know with a horse, if he stops eating for whatever reason, they can shed pounds fast. It's a great way if human beings could be like that, like if we were to stop eating for like a few hours, I could drop 20 pounds. That would be fantastic, but it doesn't happen that way for us. You know, but for a horse, though, you look at him funny, you know, he could drop 20 pounds like that. And if he's dropping the weight, you know he's not going to perform that great out there. You know?
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
I mean, that's the reader's digest version. Yes.
Dr. Chang, here's your multi-million dollar idea is the anti-Regenerex for humans.
There you go.
Eat it, lose weight.
It is not that simple, but I wish it were. As I say, you could cure a lot of ills that way, right?
I know, it'd be great. No, this is super big brain stuff, and basically what we need to take away from this is that anything that could possibly go wrong and not work, you guys have already thought about and you have addressed, and you have products that work. Everything at Omega Alpha, I totally trust. And I totally believe in, and it absolutely works. And you know that I've had a lot of really good work with Bioticate. I still give my horses Bioticate on a regular basis, my skinny thoroughbred. And I guess I need to try the Regenerex now.
You should
all right.
Try the Regenerex.
Put it on my credit card.
One of the other little tricks I'll point out there for people who are show jumping, dressage, etc. One of the things they find is that when if your horse just before competition, if you give them a shot of something which we call gastro FX, and what that does is settles the stomach. But if you give it to them just before you put the bridle. You will have a horse that is a lot more comfortable in the shoeing. And the reason for this is very simple. It's basic physiology. If you put a bit in the horse's mouth, the first thing he starts to do is to salivate. Now, even though the horse knows he's not going to be fed, this act of salivation itself actually stimulates the stomach to produce extra acid. And if you have a horse that has a minor ulcer, or even if he had no ulcer, that extra acid on an empty stomach just makes him feel like garbage. And if he doesn't feel too comfortable, he's not going to want to cooperate with you. So if you give him that shot of GastroFX about 10, 15 minutes before you actually put the bridle on, you have a horse that is a lot more comfortable, so he or she will be a lot more cooperative. Just a little tip.
And that's a great idea, too, when you're trying to train these guys. You can't, like Edward, my racehorse, he can get very stressed. And that's just kind of what I think. He doesn't have the ulcer. He doesn't have the problem. He just gets very nervous and very tense. And I think
what you're saying with the GastroFX is if you give that to them, they're going to learn more because they're going to be more relaxed because they're not going to be full of acid in their stomach. So that is a great idea. Gosh darn it, Dr. Chang, put that on the bill too. My God. We love it. Well, thank you so much. Now, you guys have a special going on right now, if what I read is true.
Yeah, I almost forgot. If you send an email to Claire Smith at our U.S. office, it's the email address is csmith@omegaalpha.ca. Only for the U.S. listeners, we have these new convenience travel packs of Biotic 8. So we'd love to send you some samples of those. But you must include in your email the shipping address. Otherwise, we can't send it to you if you just send a P.O. box. And we need a telephone number so that we can contact you to see how well this thing works for you.
Absolutely. Again. So send it to csmith@omegaalpha.ca and email your name, your shipping address, and your telephone number. You know, obviously they'll have your email address too. And this is available today for our U.S.-based listeners. And these are some free travel samples of Biotic 8. And this is a new thing you guys have, the travel samples. And I know at boarding facilities, this is such an easier way to administer supplements. And I'm so excited you guys are doing it now.
Yeah. Well, enough people asked, so we sat down and said, you know what? It's not a bad idea.
Yeah. It really isn't. Really isn't. Yeah. That's great. So OmegaAlphaEquine.com, Omega Alpha, and find them on Facebook. Just search for Omega Alpha Equine. Dr. Chang, as usual, thank you so much for imparting your amazing wisdom and helping horses out.
It was my pleasure.
He is a celebrity, and we need to have him on to play Celebrity Trivia Challenge, Glenn.
That's not a good thing, because then it shows up my real lack of knowledge when you go into trivia.
I think we tried to get him on before, and we were told flatly no.
Come on, Dr. Chang, come on. We'll ask scientific questions.
As long as we ask questions about Chinese herbs, we're okay.
We're in deep trouble if you do that.
Thank you, Dr. Chang.
Take care. Bye-bye.
OmegaAlphaEquine.com. And Jennifer has posted on our Facebook page about the Biotic 8 samples, so definitely call today. You might as well get them. They're free, right? So just give a call.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Or actually, don't
check
give a call.
It's
send
great.
An email to csmith@omegaalpha.ca. csmith@omegaalpha.ca is where you go. Well, let's take a break here and hear from our friends at Easy Signs Online and also from Jared Rogerson with a little Above the Timberline. We'll be back with more Breeders' Cup talk. We got Leslie Wiley. We also have to talk about Galway Downs, which happened this weekend, which is where you usually are this time of year. So
yep.
We have one of our listeners checking in from California who was at Galway Downs, and we'll find out all about that as well. This week's EasySignsOnline.com spotlight product is their New England-style farm signs, their most popular line of signs. New England-style farm signs are very durable and designed for long-term outdoor use with no maintenance required, no wood to rot, and no paint to peel. They will outlast the old-style painted wood signs by many, many years. They are available in many sizes, shapes, and styles, which makes them the perfect sign for any farm or business. Go online today and go through the EasySignsOnline.com easy step-by-step ordering process to see all the prices and options available. They also offer free, no-obligation sign proofs on all New England-style signs. And you get free shipping as well on all New England-style signs. So replace your old worn-out sign and make a great first impression with a new farm sign from EasySignsOnline.com. And the holidays are right around the corner, so it's a terrific gift idea. I can't think of a better one. Visit EasySignsOnline.com.
city offers you convenience, and this old mountain offers you no lenience. But it's the life I choose to lead. Peace of mind's what I receive. I make my home above the timberline, in my saddlebags. Who knows what you'll find on my trusty steed? I've got everything I need up here on the great divide. I went to college searching for my way. Textbooks for rodeo seemed a pretty even trade. Well, I guess fate can handle each and every day. Wouldn't have it any other way. Now I make my home above the timberline, in my saddlebags. Who knows what you'll find on my trusty steed? I've got everything I need up here on the great divide. There's big horn sheep. Look, there's an eagle flying down there. We got fish to eat, and up here there ain't no bears. It's the place that I reside, up above the timberline. In charge of every day. Wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, that was Jared Rogerson with Above the Timberline. You can find all of his music at jaredrogerson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair, brought to you today by OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Well, while we're waiting for Leslie here this morning, there was some other news, and just so much happened this weekend, that the National Horse Show completed at the Kentucky Horse Park at the Alltech Arena, and the big class that ends all of that is the $250,000 Canadian Pacific Grand Prix. It was the 131st National Horse Show on Saturday. Apparently the place was packed for the Grand Prix. And BZ Batten took it with her horse Cortez, which is the one she brought to the World Equestrian Games. And she was competing against McLean Ward with the horse that he brought, Rothschild, that he brought to the World Equestrian Games. Yeah, and it was one rail that was between them when it was all said and done. And then third was Georgina Bloomberg with Juvenia. I don't know how to say the horse's name. And then Candace King was in fourth place. Now, the thing that you're going to want to note about this, Jamie, is that BZ Madden took $62,500 for first place, and fourth place was $25,000. Tenth place was still $10,000. So,
I'm in the wrong sport.
When I saw that the fourth place was $25,000, I thought, oh, there's an event. Do eventers ever win that in an entire lifetime? No.
You know, we'll have to ask and try to see what Garb Crable won for winning the three-star, because I know that Galway does give some money, but I guarantee it wasn't 10th place money, even at that thing.
Jennifer,
you know, we
check
were
on
talking.
That.
Yeah, we check on that. We were talking about California Chrome and how, you know, oh, nothing, what he took away from the race, nothing taken away from him. Well, he took away $50,000, just so you know, or maybe $500. I can't do the math, but he got 10% of that $5 million purse. So I think he did at least pay for his himself. So
considering
again,
that he lives not too far from there and the trip wasn't too bad, you know, not too bad.
I'm in the wrong sport. God, I'm in the wrong sport.
Well, then the other big thing that happens at the National Horse Show every year is the McClay Finals for the junior equitation riders. 153 of them participated, and this is a big deal. I mean, it is a really big deal, and I got to tell you who the judges were, or, you know, one of the judges was on Sunday. And McLean Ward was one of the judges. So, you know, you're competing against the top in the sport, right? So, so they came down to the way they do this is they do all their flat classes, all that stuff. And then they pick out, they start whittling the field down till it's down to 10. And the top 10 riders then go out and jump over the fences and do all that. And then they can bring them back one more time, depending on who the judges think might be a tie for first place. So that's what happened here. Hunter Holloway of Kansas and Tori Colvin of Florida were brought back in to ride the final course again, this time on each other's horses. So they had to switch horses. And in the end, it turned out that Tori Colvin of Florida was the winner. She's been around the circuit for a while, and I know I've seen her name, but this is definitely a victory that everybody wants. I mean, George Morris has won this, Michael Plum, Jessica Springsteen has won it. You know, you're in good company. William Steinkraus won it years ago. So you know that you're in good company when you win this, and you really want your name on the trophy. It's the Alfred B. McClay Trophy that you get your name on, permanently marked there. So congratulations to a fellow Floridian for winning that. Last year, I think we had the winner on, and she was from Kansas or somewhere. But it was so busy today, we didn't have a chance to get her on. But congratulations. That's what happened in Kentucky over the weekend.
Very cool. $10,000. That's crazy money. Crazy money.
Speaking of money, can I give everybody a warning here? This is the time of day when we usually talk about stuff like this. That I've seen at least three people post in the last week. There has been a rash of people getting their wallets stolen at horse shows. And apparently over the weekend at the Virginia Horse Center, a bunch of people had their wallets stolen. And, you know, of course, credit cards and all that stuff gone, money gone. And it's not just one horse show. I've seen this at a bunch of horse shows now. You know how, God, it's been for years. You could just walk away from your trailer. You didn't have to worry about nothing. You go ride and you come back and everything's where it was. You can't, that's not true anymore. So, yeah.
That's incredibly disheartening to know that people are stealing at horse shows. You know, you leave your tack out, you leave your saddle out, you leave your bridle out, you leave your wallet down in your tack box, which is sitting right there, and to know that somebody's going through all that and lifting your wallet, what's next? I mean, is your saddle going to be gone when you walk up? This is really disheartening, and it's really, and this is an event, right?
Yeah, this is an event, yep. And Jessica Harris is the one who put it up there, and she's an eventer out of the East Coast. So, yeah, it's an event. I know some people were posting that it's, you know, some people were posting that they have now built in locked tack boxes to their trunks. So on the inside of their trunks, they actually built a locked box so that they could keep their wallet and things in there, or, you know, obviously put it in your car, lock your car. But, yeah, it's tough. I mean, and you don't think about that. You're thinking about going out and showing, right? You just got your horses done. You're running late, like all eventers do. And you're just going out there, and you don't think about it, and all of a sudden, you know, your wallet's gone. So keep that in mind. You know, as Jennifer made a point, as we were talking about this before the show, she's like, these crooks are stupid. We don't have any money. And then, you know, none of us ever carries any cash. And then if you're trying to get a rider's credit card, those babies are maxed out all the time. You're not going to get much out of that either.
Absolutely. You can't get far with my credit card, and you want to take my debit card? I will laugh at you. Ha, ha, ha. Enjoy that $3 in gas, because that's usually what I'm getting on the way home is, okay, how much gas can I get in my truck to make it home? Yeah. There's no money at horse shows. You'd be a lot better off, not that I'm suggesting this, but to steal the tack. Because that's what we maxed out our credit cards on, is the tack.
Right, exactly. Exactly. But let's not do that either. Let's just not steal anything. Let's go with that plan. Yeah. All right. It is time.
Horses, the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
That is right. It is time for Horse Nation and the Wacky World of Horses. And, of course, every week we have Leslie Wiley with us. Hello, Leslie.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. We've had a busy
show.
There was so much to talk about over the weekend, and it's just been nuts.
I know. It was an exciting weekend.
It was. Now, have you ever had your wallet stolen at a horse show?
I haven't. It's surprising because I'm the most trusting person ever. I just leave my pack out. I leave my purse hanging on my stall. I'm surprised.
Well, you might want to consider doing that now with the rash of thefts that have been going on at horse shows.
Events,
too. Yeah. Consider that. Well, this is something that we talked about last year, and it turned out to be quite a popular event that you had going on over there at Horse Nation. And I know Jamie participated in it, and I know Jennifer participated in it. It's kind of tough for me to participate in this because the cart doesn't have any. So, but you tell
us about the last time we talked about this, Glenn, she didn't do it. I don't remember it last year, but 2 years ago when she started it, I was pregnant. And I was not going to go no stirrups and pregnant. So tell everybody what you're talking about.
Well, some people do No Shave November. We here at Horse Nation do No Stirrup November. So 30. It's a 30-day challenge. And of course, you know, we're not unrealistic. I think that, you know, maybe you can set your own parameters for it if you want to start out with 5 minutes of no stirrup work a day, or 30 seconds of no stirrup work a day, or make some reasonable rules for yourself. I get to use my stirrups for jumping over T6, or I get to use my stirrups for fox hunting, or whatever it is you do. But it's amazing the difference that it can make in your ability to, your leg strength, your stickability. If you're a dressage rider, it really helps your leg get longer, not literally longer, but hang longer in the saddle, unfortunately for me. Get that leg locked on for jumping. It's painful. You would be entering a world of pain, but it is so worth it. It's one of the, there's a reason why cruel riding instructors everywhere, that's a favorite exercise.
I just noticed here Ruth Price posted on your page, on this article. She posted, just remember to wear your helmets if going stirrupless so that we all make it to Thanksgiving. So, yeah, so that's good advice when going through anytime, especially. So now are you going to do it, Jamie?
I am officially in, girl.
I
must tell you that there are some horses that I ride that are much easier than other ones to go without stirrups. And one of them, the thoroughbred off the track, he doesn't take kindly to sitting trot, so we may have to slowly bring him into the fray here, but I will do it. I am No Stirrup November happy to give it a go. And you know what? All my students just became No Stirrup November students, too.
You
so
mean.
There you go.
You're so mean.
Oh,
sorry,
yeah.
Jamie students.
Taking them off the tack.
All of a sudden, Jamie's going to get a ton of cancellations now that the students that listen to this show are going to be going, I can't make it.
Yeah, they don't listen, so we're good. I can talk about them, no problem.
One thing you can tell them to make them feel a little better, and anyone else who wants to take the challenge, is, misery loves company. We are here for you. We are not, Horse Nation will not leave you stranded. We're going to have weekly inspirational posts. We have a thread going on our forum, so people can drop in at any time and complain about how sore their thighs are, or whatever, post pictures of them jumping, you know, 4-foot fences, stirrup lifts, whatever you want. But we are all in this together. So that makes it a little
I'm
more
in.
Fun.
I'm in.
Well, now we were talking celebrities earlier. I was asking Jamie if she saw any out at the Breeders' Cup, and she didn't meet any because Jamie has trouble doing that anyway, even when she's standing right beside him. But you had an article about a celebrity that I didn't know was into horses.
Yeah. Apparently, Joe Perry from Aerosmith is a big Friesian enthusiast. Him and Martha Stewart, apparently. apparently.
Can you imagine seeing those two together?
Yeah. Friesians draw all kinds of fans, apparently. Yeah, but one of our writers, Amanda, who's sort of our celebrity beat. She's always finding weird celebrity horse connections. And she started sort of looking into it, and very, very interesting. You don't typically think of rock and roll and horses going hand in hand, but hey, apparently they do. And I guess
awesome.
Also...
I'm looking at pictures right now of Joe Perry and his wife and their Friesian horses. You guys can see it on horsenation.com. Yeah, he just doesn't look like a horse guy, I guess, you know?
That's because he's still wearing the rocker tight jeans and clothes when he's around the horses with the belt. I mean, he still just looks like he's on stage. He looks like he walked off the stage, put on some boots, and went to see the horses.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess Friesians are kind of a rock and roll, like of all breeds. They're kind of rock and roll. Like they're black. That's kind of like
lots of hair.
Hardcore,
yeah.
Right? Lots of hair, yeah. Just like, yeah. You know.
And you know what? The tight jeans that rockers wear are basically just breeches. They're breeches. They're black
right.
Breeches.
That's true. I'd never thought of that before.
And anybody else out there, by the way, if you're wearing skinny jeans and you're not a rocker, don't. Because they're the only ones that can get away with it. Just don't. It's not a good look.
The tightness of your jeans directly relates, and it's a correlation between how tight your jeans are and how famous you are. So only those that are super famous can wear tight jeans. The more famous you are, the tighter your pants get. That's just the way it is.
True.
Unless you're wearing breeches.
I thought skinny jeans was going to be, I thought it was just going to be a passing trend. And it's stuck around for years now. I keep waiting for it to blow over. But they just keep getting tighter and tighter, and now they're jeggings. And
I'm going to send you the photo of my Halloween costume that I wore Friday night. And you would think that I got it at Goodwill, but no, I got it at a regular, normal store in Los Angeles. And it is skinny jeans that are acid washed. That's back in style?
Acid washed?
It was way too easy to buy 80s clothes, girl. I got acid washed jeans, and I got some leg warmers at a store, not at a thrift store. Yeah, I'm going to post that. It's embarrassing, but I'll post it for you guys.
I did notice that we didn't see any pictures of you in costume, like you had said you were going to post. I did notice.
I'll send it over. I'll send it over because it's just too good.
And what were you, Leslie, for Halloween?
Well, my husband and I were Dead F. Scott and Zelda Fitzgerald.
And what did that exactly look like?
Well, we were, sort of wearing Roaring Twenties kind of kind of outfits, but our faces we painted kind of white, very pale, and put, you know, kind of did like zombie makeup. So we looked like
You were a zombie.
I looked like
flapper?
A dead flapper.
I was just gonna say, yeah, you were a zombie flapper.
Basically.
There's a good look.
It was fun.
Just what every young child aspires to be when they grow up. And then let's talk about something that is really, really cool this year. I think I might have mentioned it on the show a little while ago, but I actually heard from her today or over the weekend, and she was just leaving to head out to Kentucky, and that is Laura Hermanson. And she is riding a unique beast at the U.S. Dressage Finals.
This is such a cool story. Yeah. So she is riding a she qualified for the U.S. Dressage Finals on a mule, which is amazing. And she thought at first she was like, I think she got her. It sounds like she got her email saying that she was qualified. And she was like, huh, and called the USDF just to be sure, you know. Yeah, she said, you know this is a mule, right? A pause, a shuffle of papers. Finally, they said yes. So that's so great. Just, you know, I know that I love mules. There's a great, big, enthusiastic mule community who's been so supportive of this. She, you know, she lives in California, I think, right? And so obviously
she raised money did a crowd fundraiser to get enough money to take the mule there. And because she's part of the Mule Association, her mule friends came together and they got her the money at plus some to make this trip with the mule.
Yeah, she said she surpassed her goal of $8,000, raising $8,000 in a little over 2 weeks, which is just amazing.
Wow.
Like that, there's that much support out there, and I
she
can,
raised
yeah.
a total of $10,025 to
cool.
do this, and she was so excited about it. She's been training this mule for like 2005, 2006. And, you know, the thing about mules that they have to work with is the gates are just a teeny bit different.
Mm-hmm.
So she had to work with getting the gates, you know, correct and getting everything right. And she's going to be on the dressage radio show after her rides this week. So we'll definitely be checking with her over here at the Horse Radio Network to find out how it all went. And Reese was so excited, host of the Dressage Radio show, because she lives right near the park, and she goes over. She had a lot of her students are there, and she was so excited to meet the mule. So I'm sure we'll hear all about it from Reese as well. So. Kind of a unique thing. There are some thoroughbreds this year. There are some OTTBs at the National Dressage Finals. I mean, there's some unusual breeds this year, and it really there's some diversity there. So we'll see how all that goes.
Yeah, that's I love it. Mixing it up.
All right. Well,
thank you. For their money.
That's right. That's right. We need some homebreds here, even if they are mules.
All right. Leslie, only in honor of you and in honor of Nostra of November and in honor of everything embarrassing that I do to myself, you now have to post a picture of you guys in costume because Jennifer has now posted the picture of my awesome Halloween costume. On our horses in the morning page.
I will
it's
do it.
Awful.
What
it's
were
awful.
You again, Jamie?
We went as the 80s. My sister-in-law, we were going to be the cast of Full House, but it didn't quite work out because the men didn't want to participate. The guys wanted no part of our costume ideas. So we dressed as the shirts we were wearing say Dance Junkies, and we had acid wash tight ripped jeans on. We had high ponytails, leg warmers, sparkly shoes. I mean, we dressed to the nines, okay? We were ready. We had really good makeup on. You just can't quite see it. The picture's a little too small.
I did
oh, man.
Not,
okay, I'm looking
I did
at
not
it
recognize
now.
You in that picture. I didn't recognize you
Oh, my
you
goodness.
At all.
Yeah. I looked hot. Don't lie.
It was hot.
Don't lie.
All right, Leslie, you have to post it on our page. We'll be looking for
okay.
it.
Okay. Okay, right. I'm doing it.
Take care. Sportsnation.com. We'll talk to you next week.
Goodbye.
Well, we have one more guest to get to today. As we said, we have a jam-packed day. Usually
Gosh.
On this weekend, Jamie is coming back from Galway Downs, which is a very popular three-day event in Southern California. And it's a unique event. They were talking about it on the Eventing Radio Show last week because it looks like it's much different in landscape than the ones you see on the East Coast, because it's just a lot of sand and it's just not the lush green environment that everybody's used to in Virginia and Pennsylvania and all over the place there. But it does go up to a CCI 3-star, and somebody Jamie knows very well ended up winning it. But one of our listeners and also a blogger at Saddle Seeks Horse, Susan Friedland Smith, was there covering the event, and she's checking in with us right now to give us an overview of how it went at Galway Downs. Hey, Susan.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Terrific. Thank you so much for calling in and giving us an update. It looks like it was a good weekend over there.
Yeah, it was. The skies were threatening a bit, and they actually had to move back the cross-country phase a couple hours on Saturday, which is the day I was able to get out there. But before I get into that, I have to thank you for the Daily Whinny that you gave me last week. I was driving home from work listening to the show on my phone, and it was like, I got a whinny. My own horse did a whinny for me, but I got one from Glenn, so that totally made my day. I tried to explain it to my husband, and he didn't quite get how awesome it was.
He didn't get the importance of that? That no, is the highlight of your year? That there's nothing
oh,
better?
Shut up. Please. No, Susan, that's really cool. But you were at, I was going to ask if you competed at Galway, but you just went on the cross-country day.
Oh, Lord, no. I'm not an eventer. Although I did see some jumps that weren't into competition that were maybe like 2 feet. And I thought, maybe I should put this on my bucket list. New horse. You know, he certainly has the speed, I think. So we'll see what happens with that. But, no, I was there as a fan/blogger and kind of prospecting for future articles for Sidelines. I have a column with Sidelines Magazine. So I actually dragged my husband, a.k.a. Fabio, along to be my official photographer. So we were out looking at some of the more interesting fences on the cross-country course on Saturday.
And so how did Saturday go? It ended up not raining, right?
Well, it rained in the morning. It rained kind of overnight. Yeah, so they had to delay the start a bit, which worked in our favor because although I love him, my husband's kind of on the late side of things, so it was about an hour drive for us to get out there, and he was feeling kind of bad, and I kind of held out and didn't reveal that, well, you know, they pushed it back a bit. But, yeah, so we got there. They started with
the guilt.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So on my blog, there, the night before, we had gone to a Halloween thing, and he was Fabio, the incredible hunk for Halloween, and actually won first place second year in a row for the costume contest. So
okay, now wait a minute. I'm looking at the picture here. Jamie, you can go to our blog and check this out. So Jamie's husband would not participate in an 80s theme costume because he thought that was embarrassing. Wait till you see what her husband was wearing. I mean, he's got the wig.
M-G.
Yeah. So
he's painted green. Are those his guns? Does he have super arms or is that the costume?
Well, he has guns, but he bought a child size Incredible Hulk costume. And then the thought was, I'm really going to rip it apart. And so he was the Incredible Hunk. So he was a fusion of Hulk and Fabio, complete with the accent. Like, he gets into character. So.
Definitely is a man who is comfortable with who he is.
Definitely. Yeah. So anyway, the cross country, so he took some great pictures, I thought, for not really being an official photographer. We got to see Gina Miles go over fence one, and that was kind of impressive. And we were getting looked at them frame by frame together last night, and he was picking up tips because he's kind of learning how to ride. That was his big thing this summer, was to learn how to ride. So he's not quite to the 3-star level yet, but he's a little gutsier than I am, so I could see him as an inventor. But, yeah, so it was great, and I will admit I didn't get to see as much as I wanted to of the cross-country. Just I forgot how far away the jumps are from each other, and it's a expansive course over there, really beautiful.
It is.
It really is. Then being in the valley, being in the valley there and looking around and surrounding hills and mountains at Galway is just, it's just unparalleled. It's such a beautiful place, and they work really hard to keep the people that are walking on cross country and enjoying the one star, two star, and three star entertained. There's bands, there's drink spots, there's food spots, food trucks out on the course. Did you guys partake in any of the food? Because it's amazing.
Yeah, we had, I don't remember the name, but it was like a barbecue truck, pulled chicken and sweet potato fries. And yeah, and the other thing that I didn't realize, and my husband kept saying, why didn't you tell me, is that dogs are allowed. We saw so many dogs, and we have a golden retriever and a Doberman, and the retriever would have been incredible. The Doberman's a little on the skittish side, but so next time. We'll take the dogs.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the event itself. And Jamie knows the winner very well, Barb Crabo, riding Ever Ready, which was the horse that she's been riding and training for a long time. Right, Jamie?
She actually birthed him. So she's had him since birth. She owned the mother, and they've had him since the very beginning. And he's 15 years old now. And she has worked really, really hard with that horse. He's been an incredible challenge, and she really feels like he only became rideable a couple of years ago. That's how tough eventers are, is he's unrideable yet. She has been riding him for 15 years, and he really has come into his own recently, and he loves to perform, and I thought it was really, really cool what they did.
And
so,
Yeah, she was against Buck at the end there, right? Buck Davidson. And it came down, was it one rail?
Yeah, it was one rail. Yeah, Buck had to leave, had to run clean, and Barb had to go clean. And if Buck dropped a rail, then she was going to be in first place. And so did you see the show jumping, or can you give us a play-by-play?
You know what? Unfortunately, I didn't get to go out on Sunday. Something came up with my dog, and I had to take her to the vet for a skin problem. But, I'm looking here. Barb, I thought her quote was pretty funny after she won. So I'm trying not to swear, but it feels awesome. It means the world to me. And I know you were commenting earlier, kind of wondering what the prize money was for that. She got $7,000. For winning.
She got less than the 15th place place person at the National Horse Show.
Shut up, Glenn. Shut up. $7,000 is huge. We would love that.
I'm not taking it away from her.
Exactly.
Nobody
now Buck
to know that.
Now
well,
Buck thought the riding was what did you had a quote from Buck earlier.
Oh my gosh. You know what? I was super excited for Barb. First of all, I took lessons. She helped me immensely with Jet, and she's such a great trainer and such a great rider. And to have Buck Davidson, you know, fly in from the East Coast to be in that three-star. And this is Buck's quote afterwards. Quote, I think it's so cool. Barb has done everything with the horse. Made the horse. She deserved to win. It's a tribute to the hard work and dedication and what the sport's about. He said, it's what my dad talks about all the time. It's a dream. I couldn't be happier for her. What a freaking sweet guy.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
Excellent sportsmanship.
Just perfect. It's definitely the anti-Bob Baffert, okay? This is actually good sportsmanship.
Oh, I'm so disappointed I didn't get to hear the beginning of the show, because I'm just dying to know how the Breeders' Cup, I was thinking to myself, because we were driving home, and I was looking at tweets, and I'm like, don't talk to me. To my husband. I'm like, I got to find out what's going on with California Chrome. And then the Twitter buzz with all of what was going on with the race and the inquiry and
So I thought, oh, I can't wait to hear Jamie's perspective. I'll have to go back.
You'll have to go back and listen. But I saw on your blog that you actually went to Santa Anita on Thursday, and you went and you took some flowers to the Zenyatta statue.
Yeah, I did. It was
so
sad.
Sweet. It was so sad, and it was so beautiful. And we posted a picture on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page of the statue by Saturday, and it was covered in roses. And girl, I kept it together. I saw the flowers. I kept it together until I saw the little tiny tiara that somebody had, a little pink tiara that somebody had. Girl, I've got goosebumps now just even talking about it. I can't. Heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is heartbreaking. Question on that, because I know you're in the know on all things Zenyatta. Is she? Did they breed her to Warfront? I mean, is she having a foal?
She's open right now. She's not having a foal. They just decided to give her a year off because the Mosses are about the coolest owners on the history of the planet. And they decided that, you know, the babies were starting to get a little later and later, and she's had three in a row. Let's give her a year off. So she is not bred at all right now.
Oh, okay.
So excellent.
She's just enjoying the green grass of Kentucky.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I did want to comment when you were talking about the events, because I grew up in the Midwest, and I actually am a jump judge at heart, because that was my first exposure to the 4-to-3-day eventing, was the Wayne DuPage Hunt Horse Trials outside of Chicago. So it's just strange because I'm used to green. And then I got out to Galway Downs, and it's beautiful, but in a different way, because it's like, it's all brown here. So, pretty landscaping, I will say. I was noticing the various types of palms, the bougainvillea, and the pampas grass, which, it's beautiful. It's just a different kind of California beauty.
It is.
I have one other thing real quick here that just came in from Shannon Dahmer, who, if you remember right, has an Appaloosa that we've had her on the show a couple times. She does dressage, remember, Jamie, from California, I believe. And she has an Appaloosa, and one of her horses, her spotted one, actually made it also to the U.S. Dressage Finals in Lexington, and she's on her way out there. So she said she would check in with us next week to let us know how her horse does. So we do have quite a variety heading over to Lexington. It's going to be neat over there.
That's awesome. One other thing, and I don't know if this person's a listener, if I could just say real quick. There was a gal competing, and I have her name written down somewhere, but she's from Southern California, and she was riding a 22-year-old thoroughbred in the One Star. And I just thought, I would love to have a conversation with that girl because that's awesome.
What's her name?
You know who
I
that
know
is?
What her name is.
I don't know. I wrote it down and I left it in my office at home, and I'm at work right now. But I believe she's from Southern California, so I'm going to have to do a little digging around because I learned how to ride on a horse, you know, in the 20s, and he still fox hunted and was just amazing. So I am a fan of not only the thoroughbred, but of the senior horse.
Very
Absolutely.
Good. Thank you so much. It's SusanFriedlandSmith.com. Jennifer will post a link to that on our Facebook page and in the show notes. The blog is called Saddle Seeks Horse. And thank you so much for checking in, Susan. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. So fun. Always fun to chat with you guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, we are running out of time for today. Wow, what a fast show. We had so much to talk about. You know, some Mondays we come in here and nothing happened over the weekend. What are we going to talk about today? That isn't the case today. Well, I'm glad you had such a great time. I really am. Did you get any candy, or rather, did your son get any candy on Halloween? He did go trick-or-treating, right?
We did go trick-or-treating.